We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Today's show is brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook Lottery Agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. Well, Ray, not that there's not only are there NFL games on pretty much every day around the week, but we are in the College Bowl season. It's funny, I was looking at the College Bowls that are coming up in the next few days. Like, nah, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. But today, there are a few that may have special interest to Eagles fans, and thus we bring you the Ray Dinger College Football Preview. Liberty University fight song, Ray. Didn't think we could find it, did you?
I didn't think you could find it. I didn't know that was on it. God, you find everything on the internet, can't you? Isn't that tremendous?
Yeah,
that is what I'm going to preview today. We're moving into that part of the year where I know everybody's looking down the road for the big playoff games, the national championship games, Bama, Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, all that stuff. But in between, in these weeks in between, some of these games are pretty meaningful, and they're going to be meaningful in an NFL sense because there's going to be guys playing in these bowl games that are going to be drafted next year and coming into the National Football League. And the Eagles have, as we all know, a lot of picks. So a lot of games coming up here in these next few weeks that are going to have guys playing in these games that the Eagles will have a chance to draft. They might want to draft. So I'm going to start with two guys that are going to be playing today, both quarterbacks. And, you know, I think we all know it's kind of an open question what Jalen Hurts' future is here in Philadelphia. Is he the quarterback moving forward? Are they really prepared to commit to him? Or, in this offseason, with all the draft picks that they have, three in the first round, are they going to go looking for another quarterback? Possibility. A lot of people suggest that might happen. And so you got a couple quarterbacks playing today that, as an Eagle fan, might be worth you checking out. And one of them is the quarterback for Liberty. We're hearing their fight song right now. And his name is Malik Willis. And he's a guy that there's been a lot of chatter about him this year. You've probably heard his name mentioned a few times. You probably haven't had a chance to see him play. Well, you do today. He's going to be playing. Liberty is going to be playing Eastern Michigan University in the Lending Tree Bowl. And other one, most of the time you probably would just take a pass on that one, but you might want to check this one out and just get a chance to see for yourself Malik Willis and decide whether how you feel about maybe him coming to the NFL and maybe him coming to Philadelphia. I will tell you, I have checked him out this year. I've watched him some. He has some real strengths. He's got a powerful arm. A cannon for an arm. And he can run. He can move. He's very athletic and all of those things. He sort of became a conversation around football circles a year ago in another bowl game. His team was playing Coastal Carolina, who's coming off a really good year. And he scored. He had a big game passing the ball. He had an even bigger game running the ball, ran for 137 yards and scored four touchdowns. That's when people started paying attention to this guy. Mm-hmm. And coming into this year, there was a lot of scrutiny on him. A lot of people just say, well, let's see if that was just one game. So they tracked him all during this season. Started off red hot, did not finish well. Over his last seven games, 13 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. Threw three interceptions in three different games. He had one game against a really good opponent. They played Ole Miss, and he was awful. 16 for 25, was sacked nine times, threw three interceptions, and had a quarterback rating of 27.7. So that was kind of his big showcase game. There were a lot of scouts there, and he didn't perform very well. But the physical ability is certainly there. And he's going to get a good test today from Eastern Michigan. I mean, they're not a big school, but they're well-coached and they play good defense. So he's going to be tested today. And it is pretty important for him to bounce back because he's not finished strong, so I think he needs a big game today. And the other quarterback is, and this is going to be in the game, this is going to be the Boca Raton Bowl, which is actually starting this morning.
Boca Raton.
You're going to have to find this somewhere. I don't know what channel it's on.
Yeah, I've been to Boca Raton. It's not exactly a
College football hotbed?
No. unless you're my dad's age.
Well, they do have a Boca Raton Bowl, and they're playing it today. And it's Western Kentucky against Appalachian State. And the quarterback in this game is the quarterback for the Hilltoppers, Bailey Zappe. And he's a kid that started his college career at a very small school called Houston Baptist and then transferred to Western Kentucky and has put up just ridiculous numbers. Now, how you evaluate those numbers, the level of competition he plays against, that's kind of for you to decide.
You've been there before, haven't we?
Yes, we have been there before. But he said, you know, 8 games this year, he completed more than 70% of his passes. He passed for more than 5,000 yards this year. I mean, his numbers are just preposterous. The one game they had against a big school, we talked about the fact that Willis struggled against Ole Miss. Bailey Zappe had one game against a really good opponent, and that was Michigan State. And he fared better. He threw for 488 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. So he's got, like Willis, he's not a big guy. He's 6'1", 220 pounds. He's not that classic 6'4", 6'5", prototype pocket quarterback. A little bit more of a pocket guy, but he can move around. But he gets the ball out quick, and he makes better decisions than Willis. Strong arm, but not quite as strong as Willis. You can kind of evaluate both of these guys. I don't think there's any question at all, regardless of how he plays today, that Willis is going to be a first-round pick in this year's draft. Somebody's going to love his physical potential enough to think that they can develop him into an NFL player. Zappe, I think, is probably more likely to be a 2, maybe a 3. But Willis is going to be a first-round guy. But you get a chance today as an Eagles fan to just kind of evaluate these two quarterbacks. So Malik Willis will be quarterbacking Liberty against Eastern Michigan in the Lending Tree Bowl.
Project.
And then you got Billy Zappe will be quarterbacking Western Kentucky against Appalachian State in the Boca Raton Bowl. Check him out.
I like the name Zappe for a quarterback. It's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. One other thing I just want to ask you on that regard is, you know, you see more and more the trend that players who are going to end up being first-round picks or even lower decide they're going to not play the bowl game. And
right.
Lockett, like Pitt, he's not going to play.
Right.
I can't – was that the Peach Bowl, right?
Pitt is playing in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Oh, the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Pardon me. Not the Peach Bowl.
No.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl. Does the Peach Bowl still exist?
I believe so.
All right. I'm sure it's got some sponsor. So if you're a college football fan, well, that kind of takes away any great reason to watch that game. And if you're a Pitt fan especially, and maybe you were going to go to that game, whatever, it really undermines the bowl games, right? So unless it's a team that's in the championship round, players are just going to bail out. Is that going to present a threat to the bowls? I mean, looking ahead, as this trend continues, Ray, is it going to undermine the bowls? Well, obviously everything's financial, right?
Sure.
Right? How much are they paying? How much is Chick-fil-A paying for the rights to that game? And now the single best attraction in the game says, I'm not going.
Yeah, well, it's becoming more and more true. You know, Kyle Hamilton, we had the one caller that called up and talked about Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame, and where was he going to get drafted? He's certainly going to be a top 10 pick. He's told Notre Dame he's not playing in this game. He's sitting it out. Remember Christian McCaffrey didn't play his bowl game for Stanford. He just he just sat it out.
Oh, I saw this year it's like half a dozen, 10 guys who were doing it, and I can't say I blame them. If I was their financial advisor, if I was the dad of one of those players, and you have the opportunity at the end of April, beginning of May, to get drafted and make millions of dollars, hey, you know, we'll put on the team sweatshirt and wave the pennant, but you're not playing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, you were correct. It is the Peach Bowl.
Okay.
It is the Peach Bowl. I don't know if the Chick-fil-A Bowl still exists, honestly, but the Peach Bowl certainly does.
Anyway.
And that is where Pitt's
playing. It's the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, so we're both right.
Oh, okay.
There you go. When I think of Chick-fil-A, I think of peaches. I mean, bottom line on this, Ray.
About how does it affect the bowl games?
Yeah.
It's not going to affect them that much. It really won't. I mean, the big games are – I mean, these are just I don't want to say they're just exhibition games, but they kind of are. They don't have a whole lot of significance. It's a corporate thing. It's a sponsorship thing. And unless you're missing the Heisman Trophy winner, I don't think anybody's going to worry too much about it.
You're missing first-round picks.
Yeah, and Pickett has a very good chance.
Pickett's the biggest attraction.
I think, he would have been the biggest attraction, and you're talking about a guy who could very likely be the first quarterback selected. So is it a less attractive game? Yeah, but not enough that it's going to jeopardize the future of the bowl or the sponsorship.
All right, let's get John in the Northeast. You're on with Ray and Glenn.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
All right, John.
We're good, thank you.
Good. This is just my opinion. I think, and Roger, Ray, you're right on point. Roger Goodell is the biggest hypocrite. My point is the NFL saw what happened last year with the Saints and Broncos, and with I guess the Broncos had a receiver playing quarterback.
Yeah, it was a wide receiver, ended up playing quarterback. What the heck was his name?
They basically said, we are never going to witness this again. We are not going to have Jason Kelce going against a four-string defensive tackle, and insert your name here. We are not going to have Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard running for 400 yards in a potential playoff game. So they postponed the game. I mean, that's just my opinion why it was moved. And, Ray, I just want to tell you something. My wife and I, we just got back from Antigua. I bought your book. I read it from cover to cover. It got to the point where my wife was saying, could you please put the book down? It was a great read.
You're on the beach, for God's sake.
Thank you, John.
What are you doing like reading Ray?
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks, John. That's very nice of you.
Thank you.
That's great. Ray, he's reading you on the beach in Antigua. I'm picturing this, right?
Yeah.
It's 83 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like
a little warm breeze blowing.
White, sandy beach looking upon one of those gin blue oceans.
Mm-hmm. John has a nice little umbrella drink sitting next to him.
Yeah. His beautiful wife there and, you know, more women walking down the beach in bikinis, right? And his nose is deeply ensconced in your fight with Larry Boa.
Hey, honey, let me read you this part about Tim Rossovich. This will crack you up.
Yeah, sure. That's why we paid all these thousands of dollars for you to do something you could have done at home on the Barco Lounger.
Yes, but I hope John knows that I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sean in South Philly, you're on with Ray and Glenn.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Ike Reese mentioned something yesterday on his show, and I don't think I heard you guys mention this yet, but is it true that if there's a forfeit, the players don't get paid?
Correct.
So, I mean,
and that applies to both teams.
So, and this, I know I'm stating the obvious, but they don't get paid to prepare for the game. They get paid to play the game. So, do you think that's a major driving force in this as well?
Sure. No question. That's why that's why the Players Association is complicit in this.
Well, and I guess one of my issues is then when the players take to Twitter and criticize the NFL, in the end, as much as maybe they didn't want to play the game on a Tuesday, they really wanted to get paid, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
It works for free.
Yeah, and the players you're talking about, I'm trying to think, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay.
Darius Slay, Lane Johnson, Rodney McLeod. I mean,
Rodney McLeod had a lot to say, and I think in their mind, the game should be played tomorrow.
Which I agree, but I just think at a certain point, if the game was forced, but I thought some of the players cited player safety and thought that there should have been a forfeit. That basically, if let's say Washington had 30 players, at that point they shouldn't play the game. That it was a safety issue.
Yeah, I think they wanted the game to be played tomorrow. I can't speak for them because it's their tweets and. Sometimes players tweet stuff that may not be the wisest, and sometimes some of the players we mentioned tweet stuff that may not be the wisest.
Yeah, I didn't see, of all the players that spoke out, spoke out via Twitter, that's what they were saying, was, no, let's play the game. I don't think anybody was talking about necessarily the forfeit. They said, let's go by the way the rules were supposed to be, that you get whoever you get, and you get here, and you play the game, and we play it on Sunday. Because they're putting, as we've said already, the Eagles in a very, very unfair position.
Coming up, we are going to brighten the mood a little bit by reliving one of the great moments in Eagles history. And, Ray, we're going to relive it with Merrill Reese, who called it.
Sure did.
Kind of get his memory of this great time. We'll get your calls, 215-592-9494. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the 1937 Brewing Company, located inside the casino at Delaware Park. IPAs, lagers, seasonal brews, and more online at DelawarePark.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows.
Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.